Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Now let me tell you something about false teachers. You think so many times that people fall prey to false teachers. And that, in a sense, can be true at times. But I think the dominant theme in Scripture is just the opposite. False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion, plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Teachings of Mormonism, the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses, the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church or Roman Catholicism is not Christian, plain and simple. And if you are practicing homosexual, you cannot be a Christian. It's that simple. I don't say that, the Bible says it.
Deep in an underground bunker that looks like our mother's basement, in the middle of Lake Michigan, this is Empowered by Christ Radio.
All right, welcome to Empowered by Christ Radio. I'm your host and servant in the Lord Jesus Christ, Richard Haas, and I'm glad you can be here. Thank you for listening, and man, it is June 25th, 2014 for our podcast listeners, and I will tell you what, June seems to just be flying by. It seems every single week, just boom, 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 rapid, right down the trail, you know. You know, I've often said, I have a younger son who's 11, and, now we're getting it's June 25th, we're getting the, Dad, I'm bored, there's nothing to do, Dad, I'm bored. You know, I said to him the other day, I said, son, you will look back and be wishing to be bored when you get older in life. You'll look back and wish for those lazy days of when you were in school and you could just sit around and be bored and afford to be bored and not have stuff to do. You know, it seems to be the case. You know, as we get older, time flies by. Time seems to be going faster and faster. You know, I can remember being like my son, 11 years old, you know. Time, it seemed, oh man, 20, that was so far away, so long, you know, far away. Then you get in your early teens, 20 still seemed far away, time went a little quicker. Then you hit 20, and you're like, oh, well, time, you know, okay, it's not so far to 30. Well, then, you know, you hit 30, and you're like, oh, okay, where did time go? And now you're almost hitting 40, and it's like, yeah, where's time going? And it's only going to get quicker, It seems like, man, it's already June. Going into July, and, you know, things just seem to speed up and go faster and faster and faster. Well, I hope you guys are having a good summer so far, and, you know, speaking of things speeding up and going faster and faster and faster, it seems that the hypocrisy and the heresy, along with the apostasy, seems to be ever increasingly and ever happening and coming towards and being thrown at biblical Christians all the time. Things we see in the culture happenings, things we see in the church culture, things that are just, we would have thought years ago, several years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, that were unspeakable and unthinkable, are happening at an alarming rate, and I believe are a sign of the times, a sign that we are closely getting towards the return of Christ. Speaking of this, and speaking of this speeding up of time, and the speeding up of heresy and apostasy in the church, well, we are going to be talking about that today in our episode. We're going to be talking mainly about the PC USA's decision to allow and affirm homosexual same-sex marriages, and also their voting down of their abandonment of Israel. Now, before we get going into that topic of the Presbyterian Church USA and their total derailment of their church and their basically vertical drop right into the straight pits of hell, we will be doing a Stephen Furtick update, which I think you'll find very interesting, to say the least. Now, before we get into our Stephen Furtick update, let me give out the information and for our website and all the following goodies. Now, I do want to make an announcement, and I'm excited about this, and I think this will be very interesting coming up here. As you know, if you've been following us on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page, which you can do at Empowered by Christ EBC on Facebook and EBC Apologetics, and also you can check out our website at empoweredbychrist.org and check out our articles and list of past shows. And if you have been to our website or have been following us on either Facebook or Twitter, you'll be happy or excited to know, and you most probably have already found out, that we have switched. Yes, we've switched again. First we were on Blog Talk Radio, then we went to SoundCloud. Well, we were on SoundCloud for a while, and we applied for an RSS feed. Well, it was sadly, SoundCloud was unable to provide that. They are only in the beta testing area of that production of their RSS feeds, and they weren't able to provide what we needed. So we started looking into other podcasting services. Well, we actually came across a better deal through Podomatic. It was cheaper, and for the same amount of quality podcasting tools, and it also gave us the ability to have an RSS feed. Now, for those who are not familiar with RSS feeds and all that, that is the ability to do things like get on iTunes or get into other playing, audio playing networks. And without that ability from SoundCloud, we were kind of stuck in this, well, you had to listen to SoundCloud and you had to use their app, or you had to listen to it on our website, or you had to, download it on, your phone and listen to it. It was a pain in the butt. A lot of our listeners, a lot of our people on Facebook said, hey, you know, is there a way you can get this on iTunes? So we listened, say, yeah, we'll look into it. Well, when we started looking into it, we found, like I said, that, Podomatic offered, for the same price, an ability to get on iTunes. So yes, we are now on iTunes under Empowered by Christ Radio. And if you go there and look, you will see two subscriptions. One is the Empowered by Christ Radio show from when we were back on Blog Talk. And the other one is ours through Podomatic. And that is the one you want to subscribe to, is the one through Podomatic, because that will have all the latest shows on it. Now, we are working on getting rid of that other feed through Blog Talk, and we most probably will be deleting that account, so that will go away. So just so you are aware of that. But again, we're excited to say, hey, we are on iTunes. You can get a hold of us that way and listen and download. So hopefully that will help, because we found that most of our podcast listening came from when we were on Blog Talk Radio from iTunes. So, we did a little research, did the, the historical data, if you want to call, dived in the archives and started looking at the statistics and found, hey, we need to get back on iTunes. It's easier for you guys, easier for us. It's definitely a win-win situation. Now, before we get on to our Stephen Furtick update, let me bring up one other way you can get a hold of us, and that is through calling us. We now have the feature and ability that you can call us, and we can play your question or your comment on the air for our next show. So now, if you'd like to ask us a question, leave a comment, ask a biblical question about theology, apologetics, whatever, about the show, about us, something off the cuff, whatever it may be, you can do so at area code 414-369-2242. And, just drop us a message and we'll play it on next week's show and answer your question. Now, let's get on to the Stephen Furtick update. Before we get into playing this little audio clip from Stephen Furtick that is titled, We've Got Problems, God's Got Answers, which is as you may or may not know about Stephen Furtick, a narcissistic eisegete of scripture. Let's give a little history about Stephen Furtick and who he is and what he is about, basically. If you're not familiar with Stephen Furtick, he's the pastor of Elevation Church in North Carolina. And it's a fast, rapid-growing mega church. He's kind of word of faithy, very into, I would say, the emergent church theology. He definitely does follow the Peter Drucker business model of church growth. And a lot of his stuff, if you've checked out our website, we've written a ton of articles on Stephen Furtick and his events. We started following him back in early, I believe it might have been 2010, 2009, somewhere around there. I can't remember the exact year. When he did his Code Orange revival event, and he was basically had set up a live event, a conference, where you could stream and this event, and it had Twitter on it, and you could make comments. So we started making comments about what he was saying. So much to the point, and in disagreement, of course, because he was twisting the Bible and taking and, you know, perverting the word of God, that we totally were making comments about what he was doing, the speakers he had lined up, such as T.G. Jakes, and he had a whole bunch of other heretical teachers lined up that were just twisting and mutilating the word of God, to put it mildly. And we've written several other articles dealing with Furtick and just his total mishandling and inappropriateness of the Word of God. So let's take a look at what actually Stephen Furtick is talking about in this new update, We've Got Problems, God's Got Answers. And I want you to listen very closely here how Furtick takes and twists and does a what would be called a theological two-step and takes the scriptures that were intended for a certain group and turns it into the scriptures being meant for us. You're going to hear classic Furtick narcissistic eisegesis, but before we get into that clip, it means I'm required to play the Stephen Furtick update music. So here it is.
I got it going on. It's just me. I'm hot, never cold. I can rock it any way that I choose. I'm so good, oh yeah, I make up all the rules. I can't help it if I set all the trends. Everybody wants to be my best friend. It's infectious, come on, don't you be jealous. Just join in this love fest. You know that it's all about me.
Alright, that's right. It's all about Stephen Furtick and all about him, or as the song says, all about me, replying to Stephen Furtick and his narcissistic eisegesis. Now, it occurred to me before we play this clip that we should set this up a little bit. Two things here really quickly. The term I keep using, narcissistic eisegesis, exactly what is that? Well, in the simplest terms, to narcissistically eisegete something is basically to take scripture and misappropriate its meaning or its function and apply it to yourself. For example, if a text is talking about Israel, as you're going to see here in this upcoming passages that he or Furtick is reading and then twisting and making it about you, and this is exactly what he's doing. He's narcissistically self-centered, eisegeting, meaning that he's taking and misplacing scripture, misreading it, reading himself into scripture. That's what eisegesis means. So he's narcissistically eisegeting scripture, or taking scripture and making it about yourself and misreading yourself into scripture. Now, what is this clip about that we're going to be listening to? Well, let's set this up here. This is off his website, and this is from We've Got Problems, You Got Answers. It says here, as Christians, we understand that having faith is more than just rolling the dice with our prayers. Well, I hope it is, yes, you know. Hoping that God will fix all our troubles and do great things in our lives. Well, right there, there's a problem with that setup. This is turning Jesus into a magical genie. You know, come fix my life. Well, the Bible says very clearly that faith in Christ is not going to just fix your life. Matter of fact, oppositely, having faith in Christ and being a Christian will oftentimes bring you persecution and bring you troubles that you were not looking for. And, you know, Christ was very specific in his saying, if you pick up your my cross and carry it daily, you will die. You know, you need to die to yourself and follow me. Basically, hey, you follow me, you're not going to have an easy road. As a lot of these prosperity teachers and emergent church teachers and word of faith teachers like to try to teach, like Stephen Furtick does, that, hey, we've got problems, you got God's got answers. Well, yes, he does have answers, but unfortunately, they're not a narcissistic, eisegetic answer as Furtick, and we're going to hear here shortly what he is twisting the scriptures and making it all about us instead of all about Christ and what God really has for our answers. Because God's answer, ultimately, before we get started with this clip, God's answer to our problems was Christ, his son. That was God's answer to our problems. Our answer is faith in Christ and us being made holy, righteous, and clean in front of God through Christ bearing our sins through him on the cross and paying for our sins, that we may be made holy and righteous, so that God's answer is that through his son we may be seen clear and clean and be in present in front of God on a day of judgment and enter into heaven. Now, that you won't hear in Stephen Furtick's talk, you know, because that wouldn't make Jesus and God into this magical butler, as you're going to find out. So let's listen to the clip here, and we will comment as needed and go. Now, just a scriptural reference if you want to grab your Bibles. He's actually talking in 2 Kings, verse 17 of chapter 3. That's 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 17. Just so you can grab your Bibles and read along. And I want you to listen how he misappropriates who the scripture is for. We're going to listen to what he says, and then we're going to actually listen to who and what Elijah is actually talking about here in this verse in 2 Kings 3:17.
Let me read the end of this passage, and I close with this thought. Verse 17, Elisha gives the second part to this prophecy. And this is the part that the kings wanted to hear. He says, for this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water.
All right, let's stop it right there, and let's set this chapter, this verse, up to verse 17 from chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 of 2 Kings, we are being called to attend to the public affairs of Israel, in which we shall find out that, you know, Elijah's concerned with. Here it is, basically, it's the first few verses. This is what's going on here in up to this point in chapter 3, up to verse 17. And it's important to note, because you're going to hear in the next clip how Furtick does a theological side two-step, basically, and takes what Elijah's concern is towards Israel and its condition and flips it to our condition. Now, like I said, up to this point, chapter 3 is basically concerned with the public affairs of Israel, and we're finding Elijah's concerned with that. You know, we're talking about the general character of Joab, king of Israel, in verses 1 through 3, a war with Moab, in the Joham and his allies were engaged in, and that's verses 4 through 8. Now, we're also dealing with in verses 9 through 19, and this is where we leave off in chapter, or verses 17, where we are dealing with the condition of the reduced army and their when they went into the expedition against Moab, and they're consulting Elijah about their distress, and you know, with the answer of peace he gave them. So basically, this is dealing with Israel. It's not dealing with us. It's not dealing with our faith, God giving us answers, as we're going to listen to in this next little clip, where Furtick takes and does a theological two-step and converts what Elijah is saying here at, for the Israelites, and then twists it and turns it and narcissistically eisegetes it and takes the Old Testament and misappropriates what was applied to Israel to us. So let's listen to this next little clip.
You know, faith is preparing for the thing that you can't perceive. Faith is preparing for the thing that you have no idea where it's going to come from or how it's going to happen, but I'm getting ready anyway. He says, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink, and this is an easy thing. Everybody say easy thing.
See, there it was. Did you catch it? Right there is the theological two-step, what Furtick is famous for doing. He took something such as faith, and as Elijah talking about faith and talking to the king of Israel, Joab, and their faith and being filled with water and valleys being filled with water, talking about that prophecy that was geared towards Israel, and took it and twisted it and turned it into it being about us and our faith. That's not what the scripture is applying to. This is not where it's being applied to or whom it's being applied to. It's being for Israel, not for us. Furtick, get it right. Stop narcissistically eisegeting scripture. Well, let's continue on to see and listen to his how it's an easy thing. Let's see what else he twists here.
This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord, and he will also hand Moab over to you. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You'll cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. And the next morning...
Again, this is for Israel. It's not about us.
The next morning, didn't take long. The next morning, even though they weren't seeking God, he was gracious. The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice. That's what happens when you praise God.
What? We have to a sacrifice? Hold on. Our sacrifice, we don't have to give a sacrifice. Our sacrifice was Christ on the cross. Christ paid for us. He was our sacrifice. He was our propitiation. He was all we needed to be holy before God, to become righteous before God. Not, Furtick. Jeez, man. Furtick. Twister of scripture. Anyways, let's continue.
We offer him not a sacrifice of a bull or a goat, but we confess the name of Jesus and we worship him in spirit and truth.
Again, we don't have to offer a sacrifice. We don't have to do that. We have had our sacrifice offered. We are not under the law. Do you hear Old Testament law preaching here? I do. It's kind of funny the way he's misusing scripture, misapplying the scripture, narcissistically eisegeting this text, and then eisegeting into the text that Christ, that we offer a sacrifice to God every time we praise Christ. Where is that in the Bible? It's not. You'll look hard and long in the Bible to find what Furtick just said, and you will come up empty-handed. Oh, man, Furtick.
The Bible says the next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was. water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water.
Yes, the land was filled with water. This is a prophecy towards Israel. This is the Old Testament. It's not towards us. Now, listen what he does here. This quick switch of the where it's supposed to be, the scripture is supposed to be towards a prophecy for Israel, but he makes it about us.
Now, I don't know what rain you need, and I don't know what ditch God is calling you to dig.
What? God's calling me to dig a ditch? And what rain I need? Last time I checked, I got plenty of rain, and God wasn't calling me to dig a ditch. I don't find that anywhere in the scripture. I sure God didn't, like, you know, when I was praying to God, I didn't hear his voice that said, "Hey, Rich, you gotta go dig this ditch over here, and how much rain do you need?" No. Again, this right here, we see a misapplication of scripture and a misapplication of communication with God. In short, Furtick basically is twisting how we communicate with God or misusing how God communicates through us. In plain and simple, we pray to God. Prayer is our communication with the Lord. His word is our communication, or his communication back to us. There's no audio voice of God calling down going, "Hey, down there, you need to dig a ditch." No. We find our answers in the word of God. That's where we find our answers. We don't hear, you know, audio voices or "I felt this" or "I feel that God's calling me to dig this ditch over here." No. This is part of the misapplication of Furtick's teaching on the word, and in general, a lot of Christian churches' teachings of the word and misapplication of prayer and communication with God. So anyways, let's get back to Furtick wrapping this up here.
But one thing that's pretty remarkable about this text is that there's not one verse in it about how hard it was for them to dig ditches all night with no Home Depot 3 miles down the road. Can you imagine the agony of that, the labor, the back-breaking effort of the entire nation already dehydrated? No construction equipment, nothing but weapons to fight a war, digging ditches in the valley. Yet there's no verse about how hard the digging was. Why do you suppose that is? I guess it's because the glory of what God did when they were obedient was so much greater than the sacrifice and the pain that they experienced to obey him.
Well, there we have it. Furtick and his narcissistic eisegesis. Well, why do you suppose there are no verses up there, you know, of their suffering or their, you know, how hard it was? You want to know why the simple answer is? It's because this book was not about their suffering and about digging those ditches. That's not what was written here. This was a prophecy, and it was the answer of that prophecy to the nation of Israel. This was not about us. It was not about their suffering. It was not about their hardship, these verses. You will see here, this is classic. If you've ever listened to Stephen Furtick, this is actual classic Furtickization of scripture. He Furtickites the scripture. That's a new word I'm going to use for Furtick. Furtickites the scripture. Basically, it's to take scripture and twist scripture out of context and turn it into a Furtickization or a new translated version of the Bible. And I think, you know, we need a new translation of the Bible for Furtick. It's got to be the Furtick Standard Revised Edition or something like that. And, you know, it can be where he takes the scripture and all the scriptures and just basically makes a narcissistic eisegesis or Furtickization of his own meaning and opinions, because this is a classic what he does, where he goes and proposes. And this is a lot of what a lot of emergent church teachers and pastors do, and they go, why do you suppose that scripture says that? Or what does that scripture mean to you? And that's the classic emergent progressive left version of Christianity, where they take and try to put your eisegeted opinion into scripture. The correct answer, or the correct way of answering that or asking a question, is what is that scripture saying to you? Not what do you think that scripture is about, but what is that scripture telling you? What is it telling you? Because it's telling you something. It's already written there. The scripture isn't seeking your opinion. The scriptures don't need your opinion, my opinion. The scriptures tell us what God wants them to tell us. And they don't need our opinions. They don't need Furtick's opinion. They don't need his, you know, twisting of scripture and misapplying what verses that were meant for Israel and the nation of Israel to America, to us, to our time, to his church, to whatever. Scripture says what scripture says, and it doesn't need our interpretation of what scripture says. You know, somebody told me this back in school. I was sitting in class one time, and it was very simply, pointedly said, there is a God, and you're not him. And Furtick has to remember that, and that applies to his mistranslating the scripture and reapplying it to him. There is a God. He wrote the Bible. He inspired the Bible to be written. The scriptures have a message. They point towards Christ, and they point towards the glory of God. Those scriptures point towards those things. They say what they say. They don't need to be retranslated, mistranslated, and have our opinions added to them. Now, okay, let's get off the Furtick thing, because I could go on a Furtick rant for the next 30 minutes, and we really don't want to spend time doing that. Actually, what I want to spend time doing now is talking about the PC USA's acceptance or move towards the voting and accepting of homosexuals and the homosexual same-sex marriages, and how it's, I believe, if you're in the PC USA, it's time for you to leave that church. And if you're going to stay in that church, you're standing on the side of an abomination. That is something abominable to God. And I'm actually going to be writing an article on this in our blog section, most probably, about, you know, staying in the PC USA, and how if you're going to stay in that church, you're siding with abomination, and you are basically contributing to Romans 1:1. And if you stay there, God will give you over to your own depravity, and you soon will fall in line with what that church is teaching. And I'm not saying there are not Christians in that church right now, strong believers, actual saved Christians. I'm saying if you are, you need to leave that church and get out of there. Run to the hills. Go to, if you want to stay in Presbyterian church, go to the Orthodox Presbyterian church. They have their problems, but at least they're Orthodoxed, and you're not going to be running into the acceptance and the downhill like a rocket sled right into the gates of hell teaching that is going on in a Presbyterian Church USA, and their acceptance of homosexuals and homosexual same-sex marriages and that. And not only on top of that, then their voting of leaving and or boycotting Israel and defunding Israel and participation with Israel and all that. And we're going to be discussing all that here and shortly. But basically, we got to look at, you know, for some time, the Presbyterian Church USA, PC USA, and we're going to just call it PC USA for short, has been going off the rails. You know, it started with, you know, the allowing of women pastors and that, and that's a whole nother topic. I'm going to touch shortly on something here, and something very important that I've seen a trend. But first, you know, over the last, I would say, 20 years, the PC USA's membership has been going downhill. It's been dropping off. It's been going way down. And this is only cementing that they're falling away from mainline Christianity. They're falling away from Orthodox teaching. They are right now at a heretical point. This church has fallen to the point God's given them over to what they want, a Romans 1:1 scenario here. And basically, with the, you know, I think it was 76% in this vote wanted to allow clergy to perform gay marriages. Now, there has to be a problem when 76% of your congregation is saying, hey, that's fine. We're going to allow gay marriage. We should accept it. What's being taught at these churches? I can tell you what's being taught at the PC USA churches. It's not Orthodox Christianity. It's not the Word of God. It's not doctrine and theology that aligns with Scripture. It's a feel-good, wishy-washy, the God of love and acceptance is being taught there. So what are you going to get? Well, you're not getting, if that's what's being taught, you're not getting, if Orthodox or Christianity, where, you know, law, gospel, cost is not being taught there. Instead, you have the God of love, and everybody should be accepted, and there's nothing wrong with homosexual marriages. Well, you're not getting the real gospel there. And we've had this debate going on within the Presbyterian Church for the last 33 years. 33 years. Well, they've finally gone and fully tripped over to the dark side, as you could say. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you could say, you know, they've gone to the dark side. Luke, come to the dark side. Well, they've gone to the dark side. And they've gone over there. And because of that, it's, if you think about it, 33 years this debate's going on. Finally went there. 76% of the congregational group of people there through the country basically said, hey, clergy, go ahead and perform gay marriages. Well, you know, that's a whole generation. For a whole generation, something has been going wrong in that church. Something is deadly, eternally wrong. And I say deadly, eternally. Eternity, because that church is sending people straight to the gates of hell on a bobsled. The PC USA, there is something missing there. And what's missing there is true repentance, law, gospel, and Christ. The gospel is not being preached there. Not the true gospel. Not the biblical gospel. Not the gospel found in 2 Corinthians. Not the gospel, you know, found in the book of Luke. Not the book gospel found in Matthew. And the true gospel is not being preached in the PC USA. Instead, we are finding a church that is falling and putting their thumbs or fingers into the wind and licking them and going, which way are the winds of doctrine or society are blowing? And in that stance, going, okay, well, oh, society is going, well, we should be accepting and loving of homosexuals and same-sex marriage. Well, that church is going, well, okay, yeah, I guess we should be. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. We wouldn't want to stand on the actual truth of the Word of God and, you know, say, hey, wait a second, the Word of God says no, that, you know, we shouldn't hate homosexuals, but we can't accept them, and that they must repent of sins and turn away from their homosexuality and their practice of this abomination toward the Lord. Because after all, repentance is a turning away from your sin. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry, and you say a prayer to God and ask for forgiveness, and you just go and continue in your sin. No, repentance means a turning away from. It means to mortify that sin. Paul talks about that in Romans, mortification of sin, and that we need to mortify our sins, kill our sins. And that's what is not being taught in the PC USA. Instead, because they got their thumbs or fingers licked and going whichever which way the doctrinal winds are blowing, they are more into the, oh, it's okay, we're going to be loving and accepting, and we're going to promote homosexuality. Well, that's not biblical Christianity. Now, not only is it not biblical Christianity, we're looking at a false church. And like I said, this debate has been going on for 33 years. That's a full generation. So you have a full generation of goats in that church. And that is why I strongly believe that 76% voted to allow clergy to perform gay marriages when they are legal. There's a problem in that church. Now, like I said, if you're in that church and you're going, oh, well, I'm going to stay here and try to change it. No, that's not your place. Get out of that church. God has turned them over to their own abomination, following Romans 1:1, and homosexuality is an abomination towards God. It's a slap in God's face towards his created order, and any church, any pastor, any church leader that says and accepts homosexuality and is going to allow homosexuality in their church, in their congregation, perform a homosexual marriage or a same-sex marriage, a sodomite wedding, they are going and strictly slapping God in the face and saying, I know better than your created order, and that I am better than you, God. That's what they're doing. And yes, this might sound like strong, harsh words, but it's the truth. And these people, these pastors, this congregation, if you're in this congregation of PCUSA, and you are a solid believing Christian, and you were not part of the 76% that voted for this, and you're still there, you need to get out of that congregation, because God's judgment is upon that congregation. You need to get out of there. Don't try saving that congregation. Pray for them. Don't try staying there and saving them. Let God judge them, and let God turn them upon themselves, and hopefully see the total abomination in their act towards God, and repent and deny this and turn around and then repent of this, turn away from it, and start preaching orthodoxal Christianity, and start preaching the truth, and start preaching the Word of God, for the Word of God, in the Word of God, orthodox Christianity, and start preaching biblical gospel, law, gospel, cost. Now, earlier, I mentioned something about a little scenario or something interesting that I've noticed with churches and women preachers and homosexuality. And I want to touch on this very shortly. I've noticed over a trend, I'm going to actually be doing some research and writing a couple articles on our website, Empowered by Christ. But it seems to be a correlation between churches that allow women pastors, women elders, and the general fall, roughly about 14 to 20 years after that acceptance or allowance of women pastors in the pulpit and in the elder boards, to falling basically for homosexuality. We've seen it here in the ELCA. We've seen it with the Presbyterian Church USA. And we are now seeing it towards the Methodists and how they are willing to accept homosexuality and not speak against it, and they're kind of falling silent on a subject, which tends to me say, hey, they're the next one in line to fall. Now, there seems to be, like I said, that correlation in between allowing women to be elders and allowing women to be pastors and the general fall into homosexuality. And I'm not saying it's because women are pastors or women are elders. I'm saying this mainly because the correlation seems to be in the area of lacking of scripture, of actual falling orthodoxal scripture, of teaching of scripture. They are falling and leaning, and they get soft in an area of doctrine where the Bible clearly speaks against women being elders and women being pastors. And they go, okay, well, we're going to go a little soft in that, and we're going to allow that. Well, then where you compromise, you draw that sand in the line in the sand, and you go, okay, I'm going to compromise here, and we're going to allow that. Well, next thing you know, you start backing that line up in the sand. And pretty soon, you're up to the line in the sand where it's, what do we do about homosexuality? And next thing you know, you've crossed over that line of homosexuality and you're into that area of where, hey, we're going to vote and we're going to do what's popular, like the PC USA Church did, and do what's popular and say, oh, well, we're going to put it up to a vote of whether or not we should allow same-sex marriage and clergy to perform them. And if it's popular, well, we're going to do that. Because, you know, popularity, this, after all, the church is a democracy and we have to let it go forth and vote upon everything. No, the church is not a democracy. The church should never be a democracy. The church should be ran by the elders, and the church should be ran, those elders should be running the church by the word of God and by scripture and by doctrines and creeds, not by popularity voting contest where 76% of somebody votes something and then all of a sudden, oh, well, we're going to just go against God's word because we got our lick fingers in the wind and it's popular to go against God's word here and vote and say, yeah, homosexuality is okay, homosexuality is fine, and you know what, we're just going to allow our clergymen to do homosexual marriages. What's next? Where do you go after that? Where do you go, PCA USA? Where do you go? That's my question to you. Where do you go? What next popular thing are you going to vote on that's popular in society and allow to adorn your doors of your church? Where do you go? What's next? And, you know, like I said, if you're in the PC USA church, and I sincerely mean this, I went on a little rant there, and you need to get out. You need to get out. Go find yourself an Orthodox teaching church, you know, a Presbyterian church, Orthodox Presbyterian church, Reformed church, something along that lines, you know, if that's your flavor, and get out of there. You're not going to save that church. You're not going to make a difference. All that church is going to do, and the people stuck in an abomination towards the Lord, they're going to bring you down. They're going to wear you down. They're going to bring you down, and you cannot change that church. God has to change that church. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for those in that church, because we should. We should pray that their eyes are open, that the Holy Spirit opens their eyes, that the Lord opens their eyes, that they're turned away from this abomination, and that they repent, and they start teaching the Word of God. Now, next week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about an interesting topic, and I think you're going to find it pretty interesting. Working on it, setting it up. We're going to talk about communication with God. Proper ways of communicating with God. How do we communicate with God and some improper cases of communication with God? One of those improper cases of communicating with God is highlighted in Blackaby's book, Experiencing God. We're going to touch a little bit about on that, and we're going to listen to a couple things on that. I think you're going to find that very interesting. I kind of touched on that today with Stephen Furtick's and, you know, how we pray and don't pray to God and what prayer is for, and we're going to discuss all that on our next show, because I think it's something that is lost in today's culture, in today's church culture, proper methodology of prayer. And yes, there is a methodology to prayer. You might be going, well, you're making it sound legalistic, Rich. Well, no, I'm not saying there's a formula or a legalistic way, but there is a proper way and an improper way of praying and expecting prayers to be answered, and that there's no magical formula when we're praying. I'm going to share some stuff with you. I'm going to share some personal stuff with you, and I think I can speak a little bit on this because of some experiences I have had, and I'm not going into the experientialism of Christianity, because, you know, yes, we have experiences, and those things dictate how we pray and whatnot, but there's proper ways to pray even those experiences. And there's a personal story I'm going to share with you, and even during this hardship and personal story that I'm going to share with you next week, I don't expect an improper way of praying to answer my prayer, and I'm going to leave it at that, but it's going to be interesting, so you're going to want to tune into that next week's show. Now, like I said, We are on iTunes, the Empowered by Christ radio show. Just type that in. We kind of left SoundCloud. We're switching stuff over to Podomatic. So if you want to check that out, you can. I put the link up on our Facebook page, and you can follow us there at Empowered by Christ, EBC. You also can follow us on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. And we are on Instagram at EBC Apologetics also. And if you want to comment on this show, any past shows, make suggestions, got a topic you want to hear talked about, you got a question, theological question, Bible question, anything off the cuff, you name it, worldview question, you can call us at area code 414-369-2242. Leave us a message, and we'll play it on next week's show. So, again, I thank you for listening. I know today was a tough topic, but hey, we got to cover the tough topics here. And that's what we do at Empowered by Christ radio show. We cover the tough topics. And that's why we are on podcast. We're not on a regular radio station. We are doing what we do via podcast, iTunes, YouTube, the internet. Because if we did what we do on regular radio stations, they wouldn't want us. And they don't want us because we talk about topics that will hurt their pocketbook and hurt their listenership. Because you know what? We say things according to the Word of God and in truth the Word of God that, frankly, a lot of Christians just don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. Well, I thank you for listening. And God bless, and God willing, we will be back next week with another EBC Radio podcast. Thank you.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
You have been listening to EBC Radio. You can contact us at ebcradio4u@gmail.com. Make sure to follow us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ, EBC, and on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure to check out our website at empoweredbychrist.org. And thank you for listening.